And we're back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder News, Reviews, and Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param, and I'm joined by...
Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer, and we're down someone. James, where's James? What did you do with him, Param?
Well, as you know, a helpful group of Skittermanders decided to get him to his destination down the Yellow Brick Road.
Why? Why would they use the Yellow Brick Road? That's magic, Param. Magic doesn't exist in Starfinder.
Oh, darn it. Magic doesn't exist in Starfinder because this is absolutely not a science fantasy game, as everyone on the internet seems to think. I mean, I like my dragons with my laser cannons on their shoulders, don't you?
There are no dragons with laser cannons on their shoulder, Param. There are no dragons in Starfinder.
You mean we don't travel through space entirely thanks to a god's creating a hyper dimension for us to shoot through?
No. That is advanced technology, and you know it, Param.
There aren't wizards in the sun that we're going to go fight?
No. Why would there be a wizard in the sun, Param? That's illogical.
No! I want my sun wizards!
You find me one bit of proof that there's magic in this setting, Param.
Okay, how about the seventh and final class in Starfinder?
The Mystic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and we did a magic class already, didn't we? That wasn't very funny. I'm sure all of the listeners at home are like, this guy is stupid. You just need to stop and tell me about this class.
All right. So what we'll be talking about, this is the class feature episode for the Mystic, the other quote-unquote full spellcaster for Starfinder, according to some of the blog previews. And it is it's not technically the Divine Caster, but it's kind of the Divine Caster. The Mystic is definitely the more traditional spellcaster class of the two. It definitely leans heavier on its magic than, say, the Technomancer does, and certainly more than the Solarian does.
Yeah, the Mystic has this design space where it's kind of like someone took parts of the sorcerer and parts of the psychic and like parts of the druid and was like, man, oh man, I love all these classes, but you know what I love even more? I love my blender. And then they took all those poor iconics, and we don't talk about what happened after that. But then they poured the rest into it like a mold and got the Mystic. Yeah. It's kind of like a whole bunch of concepts.
And they sprinkled all the cure spells on it.
Literally all of them. There are no other cure spells in this game. Every cure spell in this game got put into there. It's like... It's like someone took the entirety of all of the corn produced in Colorado and said, you know what? This only needs to go to this one guy, Eric's house. Mm-hmm. And so there's an Eric out there in Minnesota who's got like 40,000 billion barrels of corn, or I don't even know what you would port corn into. Mm-hmm. But that's where it is, and that's the Mystic class.
Yeah, but it's not the only support class in Starfinder.
Oh, no.
The Envoy and the Mystic sort of team up to handle the healing supporty part of the game. The Envoy sticks to keeping everybody's spirits high and the stamina topped up, and the Mystic is straight up the hit points.
I would argue that the Envoy is better at buffing than the Mystic, and the Mystic is weird because in addition to having all the healing spells, it also has the highest damaging single target spell in the game.
It is like that, yeah, because the Mystic has Mind Thrust, which is a scaling spell from 1 to 6, and this is basically, the Mystic gets to do all the space psychic stuff. There's literally one of the abilities that the Mystic can get later on called Explode Head. It goes full on scanners. This is your psi core. If you wanted all of your secret agent spy hijinks, this is the class to go to. This is your Mass Effect biotics here.
And it's weird because, like, I see tons of people talking about how the operative is overpowered because the operative has such a monopoly on skills. Mm-hmm. Like, if you ask me, like, the Mystic literally has every single type of high-powered magic in Pathfinder, except for AoE spells and stuff that works on robots.
And illusions.
And illusions, you're right. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's hardly a major, like, weakness. Mm-hmm. I think, like, of all of that, the only thing that I'm sad to see that, like, my primary spellcaster can't get is, like, explosion and mirror image on the Technomancer. Like, other than that, everything you could ever want is on the Mystic. And Oh man, it's such a strong class. Mm-hmm. It suffers really hard from the 15-minute adventure day, but it is a strong class.
Yeah, and it's got and we mentioned the Technomancer a lot because that's the other primary spellcaster in Starfinder, and a lot of the early criticism of the Technomancer is because its spell list, when compared to the Mystic's, definitely is the lesser of the two, and where the Mystic did get what a lot of people thought the Technomancer would get, the single target damage, that is another reason that there was a little bit of a criticism on the Technomancer. Of course, that was back when everybody was basically saying Technomancer equals Space Wizard and Mystic equals Space Cleric, and neither of those statements are really true.
No, they're not. The Technomancer, like we said, is much more of a Magus, and the Mystic is really whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
But there are some things that every Mystic can do okay, and there are some things that only some Mystics can do okay, and I think that's a distinction that's worth talking about as we get deeper into this class.
So,
but let's do the vital stuff.
Yes. All right, so the Mystic Spine, it has 6 hit points per level, also 6 plus Constitution modifier. It's a squishy.
It's a very squishy.
Mm-hmm. It has, its key ability score is Wisdom, and that determines its spell casting and saving throw DCs and a lot of its ability DCs, and it also determines its number of bonus spells, and High Charisma is also, it says, useful for social situations.
No, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. This class just wants you to pretend that Charisma is useful. This class does not need Charisma. No. If you're going to invest in everything, you want, like, Dex and Con, you know?
You just need Wisdom for this class, because it doesn't need a second offense. It can definitely handle its primary offense using its magic only.
And like, if you want to back up on a basic like firearm, like just grab Dex. You don't need Charisma. Don't be social. Social is overrated.
But if you do want a good bedside manner, you can do the Charisma. All right, its class skills, and this is where maybe that Charisma comes in, because it does have not a lot of those: Bluff, Culture, Diplomacy, Disguise, Intimidate, Life Science, Medicine, Mysticism, Perception, Profession, Sense Motive, and Survival.
Yep, it's got pretty much every Charisma skill, and it's got the most important Wisdom skill, which is Perception. Mm-hmm. And then, like, if you want a weird hodgepodge of, like, old stuff, you got Survival. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is mostly Charisma and Wisdom-based skills, which I don't know if that says a lot, because most of the skills in this game are dex-based, regardless. It's also worth noting that the Mystic gets a further choice that'll give them additional class skills, but we'll get to that. Yeah. But these are the core ones that all Mystics have.
It has 6 plus intelligence skill ranks per level, so a decent amount.
I mean, it's got more than the Cleric ever had. Like, this character is swimming in, like, a glut of skill ranks compared to the Cleric. Right. The Cleric looks at this class and says, the future is bright.
It has proficiencies in the light armor and basic melee weapons and small arms.
Sadly, you can't be a Mystic who throws holy hand grenades without a feat. Sorry, guys.
You can throw them, but
you just miss. Listen, do you know how angry your party members get when you miss with grenades? They get really angry.
Is it just because they cost so much?
Yeah. Oh.
Silence! Silence! You've brought bad magics into this podcast.
I did, sorry.
All right, so it's got good will saving throws. It's on the, I guess, the lower base attack. I would call this traditionally medium, but it's got the two-thirds base attack track.
Yep, and it's got bad will saves, or bad saving throws except for will.
Right. And its spell casting is a 6-level spontaneous spell casting, just like the Technomancer.
I mean, you know, this is Starfinder, Param. This isn't Pathfinder. We just call it spell casting.
I don't know what the future might bring for this game.
Armory.
True, and we will be talking more about the armory after Gen Con.
Yeah, but let's talk about some class features. So,
all right,
when you're a Mystic, right, guys? Mm-hmm. When a fledgling Mystic comes into their power, they establish a connection with some aspect of reality. And some of these connections are associated with gods, but the mystic class doesn't need to worship a god to work. If you're religious, it just gives you a list of connections that are usually associated with each god. And there's also a little tidbit about, hey, you might get a different one, but the god would not be happy about you worshiping them and getting these weird powers that they don't agree with. Whatever. As you level up, you get connection powers, which are special abilities that are associated with whatever cosmic force gives you your mystic abilities. You get one at first, third, and then at six and every three levels afterwards after that. So it's a little bit quick to start, and then it kind of gets into this nice little mellow groove. Mm-hmm. Things get weird when you start talking about the mystic, though, because all mystics, regardless of whether they're good, evil, regardless of their connection, they get this power called Healing Touch, which is a very long-term ability that basically says you spend 10 minutes once per day, touch an ally, they get 50 hit points back per mystic level. Mm-hmm. It's a decent amount of hit points. Most classes get 6 per level, somewhere between 6 and 7. So usually you're going to heal somebody up about 2/3 to 1/3 of their hit points. It's strong. Especially since it's a once per day, no resource. And then there's like a magic item, like a battle staff you can get that lets you do it again. So it's pretty cool. As you level up, you get things that further enhance your connection. There's a lot of psychic powers in here. You get things like Mind Link, which is where you touch a person and you give like 10 minutes of information directly to their brain. Mm-hmm. Like every class, they get a weapon specialization. Well, every class, man, is Technomancer. But mm-hmm. No, Technomancer gets it too. Yes, they do. Because that's why Technomancers can be cool. So they get weapon specialization like everyone else. They get an ability where each connection is associated with several class skills, and they get a insight bonus to those skills that goes up in a manner that is basically the operative delayed by one level. So at whatever skills their connection is associated with, they're pretty good at them, which is helpful. And other than that, you get more telepathic powers, and then eventually you transcend reality and gain absolute enlightenment of your connection. You no longer age, you no longer die of old age. You enter a state of total communion with your connection that gives you bonuses on pretty much everything. It's very reminiscent of the War Priest capstone, the avatar of battle. And then you get bonus resolve. You get 20 bonus resolve points. You're just like, hey, you know my connection? I use it all the time now for this like 5-minute period. I'm unlimited power. It's pretty great. What do you think, Farron? Was that a apt summary?
That was a very apt summary.
Cool. We can talk about the connections now because that's where the meat of this class is.
I was kind of crazy. Oh, you missed channel skill.
I thought I mentioned that it's a small little bonus to them, to your skills. So the thing about the mystic is, like, that's all well and good, everything I just said, mm-hmm. but, like, your connection sort of makes you as a mystic. Because every connection has a very specific theme. So, like, there's Akashic if you want to be good at knowledges. There's mm-hmm. Devastator if you want to wreck reality. There's Healer if you want to be literally the best and only healer worth caring about in Starfinder. That's not entirely true, but it's pretty true. And you have all of these connections that very much change how your character works. It gives you bonus spells. It gives you additional class skills. It gives you these really cool and very powerful abilities. It does, however, make the mystic stand out from the other classes in Starfinder in that the other classes tend to follow a standard ability, I choose, standard ability, I choose, as their class layout. You like Soldier, for example, standard ability, I pick my fighting style and get a fighting technique. Mm-hmm. I choose, I get a bonus feat. Standard ability, I get a gear boost. I choose, I pick another bonus feat. And pretty much all of the classes in Starfinder follow this pattern, except for this one. This one follows the very traditional, like, Oracle Mystery or Sorcerer Bloodline format.
Right.
Or I guess a better comparison is the Psychic, because that one is a little bit closer with the telepathic powers. Right. But essentially, like, this one follows different rules. It's actually really funny when you read the archetype rules, because everything is jumbled. Regardless, let's talk about some connections. Right. Which one would you like to start with, Param?
Well, I want to reiterate, I was surprised at how many abilities were under the connections, because usually something like this for a spellcasting class would just be 3 abilities and, mm-hmm. and one that's mostly for flavor. And you got what you... These do have your associated skills, so you do get some extra skills for your connection, and then you get set spells, which you expected, because that's just like cleric, sorcerer, bloodlines, and all that jazz, and then like a bunch of abilities,
and they
just keep coming. It's like
they do. There's a lot.
It's like first, third, sixth, ninth, tenth, twelfth. It's like every three levels.
Yep. And they're all very strong. It's not like it's very reminiscent of soldier fighting styles, but like these take the place of like choosables. I think that that's both a strength and a weakness of the design. It would have been pretty cool if all of the classes had the same basic scaffold, because then it would be easier to learn and you could always have that assumption no matter what class you played. And I think that's something that we're seeing with the upcoming Pathfinder playtest, based on what we've seen from the blogs. Like, indeed, it seems like you get feats pretty much at the same time across every class. That being said, allowing the Mystic to be different gives it this like kind of different feel. It feels like it doesn't fit in with the other more tech-based classes. Even the Technomancer follows similar but not exactly the same rules. So I think this is a fun class that looks very cool, and I feel like we should probably talk about the connections now, because there's a lot of really cool ones.
Before we get into that, I need to call a procedural.
What's that?
You're really energetic, and you're bouncing your mic like crazy. Every time you do, it's really loud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Wait, listen, so like the last time I was on the show, like I was in the middle of having strep. Ooh. Like not strep A, strep B, the one that's not contagious to like breathing on people, but like I had to pause the microphone every 5 seconds to cough. It was really bad. So, like, I'm like, I have power now. I can talk to you people. It's great. So, I'm a little bouncy.
I think we need to invest in getting you a shock mount.
You wouldn't be wrong. My chair is acting weird too. Like, it's starting to tip more. I've had this for about 2 years, but I don't want to bore you guys with chairs when we have connections to talk about.
Okay, so there's not so many connections that we can't just go down the list. And the first is maybe one of the more exciting, because it completely changes the concept of the Mystic so far. It turns it into a skill monkey. And that is the Akashic.
Yeah, our Dead Sons game, our Mystic in that, he plays the Akashic one. It's really... It's cool. It's like, whoa. I have a lot of experience with this one specifically.
And if you listen to No Direction Prime, when we recently reviewed the Planar Adventures book, we talked about the Akashic Library there. And the Akashic Record is this astral library that has all knowledge of everything that any sentient species has.
Mm-hmm.
And
it still exists in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Evidently, we didn't screw that one up, guys. Great. Too bad we can't say the same thing about Galarian.
Yeah, we screwed that one up bad. But regardless, Akashic is like your divination, your gather information, and it is very much a skill monkey. Mm-hmm. You get the channel skill ability early, and each day you get to choose any one profession skill you want and add it to the list of skills associated with your channel skill. So you get an extra profession that you're just really good at. And, you know, a canny player is probably only ever going to choose one, except for specific circumstances where, like, role-playing reasons or, like, adventure background might make a good reason to switch. But generally speaking, you're probably going to pick whichever one is associated with your theme most of the time. And actually, this is the only class that gets profession as one of these skills, except for the operative, like as an insight bonus ability.
And with Akashic, the Mystic, especially with some of the later abilities, maybe can't like beat the operative, but it can definitely play in the same ballpark as far as skill rolls are concerned.
It can get close enough that like you're Akashic and have decent skills that are close enough to like make the operative sweat a little bit, but then you're still a 6th level spellcaster on top of that.
Right.
So you're just like ultimate magic power,
and you're still loads above the other classes.
Yeah. So the next ability you get at 3rd level is the one that our Mystic uses all the time. It's Access the Akashic Record, which is basically, you can spend a resolve point when you attempt a skill check for when you roll that check, you count as having ranks equal to your Mystic level. So like every now and then we'll be doing like these things and it's like, oh man, we don't have this skill, or oh man, we don't have this person isn't with us because our group actually doesn't have an operative. And so like every now and then our Mystic's like, chill. I got this. And then he starts talking, and it's great.
Excellent. It's just like, you know, having access to all sentient knowledge is useful. It's like he has a cell phone in his pocket that gets connection anywhere.
Yeah, but he does it instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It's great. No reading Wikipedia for 3 hours looking for the exact weights of firearms for game design reasons. So the next ability you get is called Peer into the Future, which is you meditate to get all of these awesome powers, and it basically gives you a +4 bonus onto any one check once per day after you meditate. Mm-hmm. And that 11th ability, you can use it twice per day, but you can't chain them. And then you get Mind Probe, which gives you a spell-like ability. Telepathic Memories, which is where when you use Telepathic Bond with your allies, you can just send them memories and be like, this is my life. This is my background. Level 13. This is my hidden background. Oh, gosh, there's so much emo stuff here. It's great. And then my favorite ability from this is Memory Palace.
Oh, which man. Is where, you just go full Sherlock.
Yeah, you just make a giant extra-dimensional house that commands all of your knowledge. It's great. And then finally, you get this ability where you can, once per day, you can cast a spell from either class's spell list as if it was on your spell known. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I can pull this spell from the Akashic Record. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I like that one.
The next one is the connection that is most disturbing, and that would be the Devastator connection.
This is important to point out. This is not a core rulebook connection. This one is from the second Adventure Path Brawl volume, Temple of the Twelve. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for that and you want to enjoy the Devourer, go read Temple of the Twelve.
Mm-hmm. And that should give you some hint. It's about this was for the Devourer.
I love how they have a spell card, Carnivorous.
I know.
It's great. It's like you eat people, you destroy their body, you turn them into acid, you crush their skull, you give them negative levels, and then you pull all of gravity onto them and crush them with gravity. Mm. It's great. This is the one you want to do if you just want to be horrible. Like, if you want to be apocalyptic, go Devastator.
And in true story, when I played the Skitter Shot with Jason Keeley at PaizoCon, he spontaneously subbed out my Mind Thrust in that adventure for Carnivorous. So I had a really, really bitey Skittermander.
That's funny.
All right. So you get, when you kill things in this, you get what's called a blood mark. So you get this little red black hole swirling on your skin somewhere every time you kill things. And this really encourages you to kill things, because from that point forward, you get morale bonuses to attacks, AC, saving throws, just about everything for that type of creature.
It's so, basically favored enemy plus the favored defense feat, but scaled for Starfinder.
I mean, I can just see, like, if you're going after something, the Mystic could just, like, keep a whole chain of, like, lesser versions of the same species or creature type around and just, like, bring it around. So, oh, it's time to fight, and just slaughter one.
You know, you're right. That means that ability wouldn't pass the Enzegeist kitten test.
Oh.
His test is basically, if you could break the ability by carrying around a bucket of kittens, and then it's broken.
Well, but, you would only when fighting kittens.
That's a good point. Only when fighting kittens. Mm-hmm. How often do you think you have to fight kittens, listeners?
Well, they like to use cats as alien creature bases. They love arboreals in giving them tentacles and mini eyes, so more That's often true. Than we think. So those bag of kittens would be very useful. Not that we, as a podcast, advocate the wholesale slaughter of cute, adorable kittens.
I mean, it's a role-playing game. You do what you gotta do, GMs.
Okay.
Anyway, you get this, like, really crazy ability at third level that is similar to a Barbarian Rage, except instead of being fueled by rounds, it's fueled by spell slots that you sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So you could it's basically just like having a really good version of the Rage spell. You get an ability at 6th level that you could spend resolve points when you crit people to add the wound critical hit effect to the ability instead of whatever it would normally have. Mm-hmm. And if you already have that on your weapon, you could spend a resolve point to upgrade it to severe wound. Mm-hmm. So you just maul people. No big deal.
Yeah.
You get Shattered Defenses at 9th level, which is you basically lower DR, energy resistance, and hardness of your targets by your mystic level, which means it is arguably stronger than the Penetrate Defenses feat. Mm-hmm. It comes with the caveat that your target can try a Fortitude save to reduce it. And you can do it to objects, so if you want to break objects, break them.
You can get really angry at that door.
Yes. Greater Blood Mark at 12th level lets you trigger your Blood Mark when allies that you have linked to with your telepathic bond hurt stuff. So all of a sudden now, if your ally beats up that little halfling, now you can beat up halflings. It's great. You get Bloodlust ability at 15th level, which is whenever any ally scores a critical hit, if they're in your telepathic bond, you can spend resolve to regain stamina points. So congratulations, you're one of two character classes in the game that can restore stamina points. Only problem being, only you can heal them for yourself.
Right. But, and you have to serve the Devourer.
I mean, for some people, that's a plus, not a penalty. But at 18th level, you get Circle of Destruction, which is where you make a sphere that causes anything within that 30-foot area to take 12 d10 force damage. Enjoy! Yeah, and also everything in the area turns into difficult terrain. Even empty spaces in the air or vacuum. So congratulations, you destroyed air. Great. But you ignore your own difficult terrain, so you're just like, aha, I revel in the destruction. It's probably the most anime ability I've ever seen in Starfinder, which is great. Starfinder, give me more anime, please. Thank you.
And when you want to take your spellcaster back more towards sci-fi and more towards the psychic, you can then take the empath connection. You get perception and sense motive, and this is all about the mind reading psychic version of the mystic.
Yeah, this is the Professor X mystic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's great.
You get the take thoughts at first, zone of truth at second level spells, clairaudience, clairvoyance, mind probe, telepathy, and true seeing. Lots of really game breaky things there.
Yeah, and then the abilities get even stronger. Mm-hmm. Empathy at first level lets you use sense motive to just automatically learn stuff about people, like better than normal sense motive gets to do. And if you succeed, you get bonuses on all your social skills against that person for an hour. Mm-hmm. It's like pretty good. At third level, you can get Greater Mind Link, which takes the Mind Link class feature that all mystics share and lets you do it at will. And communication can be both ways.
I find it odd that you have to wait till 6th level to get the emotion sense. I guess it's really powerful, but if you're an empath, mm-hmm. this is the part where you are the empath. Basically, yeah. You get it's like blind scent, but just for emotions from things that have emotions right. around you, which is helpful.
You have to figure that is significantly stronger than like the Sheeran's vibrations, because like mm-hmm. vibrations isn't super useful in space, but emotions, pretty much all creatures that aren't mindless are going to have some level of emotional capacity. Like, your allies, your enemies could try to hide their emotions, but it's not easy if you put any level of effort into raising your sense motive, which of course you did because the empathy ability is completely dependent upon it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. At 9th level, you get Discern Lies as a spell-like ability. So you could just be like, you, tell me everything. You're not lying. You're lying, except you only do it once, that person. Then at 12th level, Emotion Sense goes from Blind Sense to Emotion to Blind Sight Emotion, mm-hmm. which means it's now a precise sense, and you can use your enemy's emotions to literally attack them as easily as if you saw them with your eyes, mm-hmm. which is insane. At 15th level, you get Retrocognition, which, if I'm remembering right, that's a spell that lets you rapidly remember things in the area around you. So you just hold your hands like this, and like you're reading everything that's happened in this circle around you. It's pretty useful if you're trying to find information for a plot, actually. And then at 18th level, you get Psychic Surgery as a spell-like ability, costing 1 resolve point, which is amazing, because that's essentially the heal for brains, if that makes sense. Is like that right?
For brains. It heals up all intelligence, wisdom, charisma damage, even permanent damage. It'll get rid of mental diseases. But if there's anything wrong with your brain, it fixes it instantly. In 10 minutes, actually, but it yes. fixes it in that 10 minutes.
And you can spend a resolve point to do it on yourself, even if you don't, without taking an action. It says even without being able to. Also, like, even if you are, like, stunned or like unconscious, you can use it even if you can't normally take an action, which is pretty great. Mm-hmm. That brings us to the next connection, which is an important one to talk about. It is the healer connection.
Everyone's favorite party member.
So the thing is that the healer connection has so many abilities tied to it that are important for healing that you'll hear a lot of people say that, like, there's no reason to play a Mystic who isn't a healer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. We're doing okay with that one. But there's definitely a lot more resting involved. There's a lot more.
If you want to heal as a Mystic, you really might want to look here. But if you want to just be a psychic or skill monkey, like if you weren't like, if you didn't want to go pure space cleric, then this, you wouldn't go here. I think too many people pigeonhole Mystic equals healer.
Yes. Cause the Mystic can do a lot. It can do a lot well. And honestly, if you're careful and you're with your resources and you make sure to budget for like extra serums and stuff, you'll probably be okay. But it is worth noting that this is the strongest healer. This is the healiest healer in the game, and they're good at it. Another thing that's worth mentioning is that, especially in the early days of Starfinder, the healer's bonus spells really confused people. Basically, how it's written is it says first through sixth level, your bonus spell is Mystic Cure, because Mystic Cure is a variable level spell. Mm-hmm. But you can only ever know the highest level. The lower level one automatically gets replaced by a new spell. So how it works is like it'll say first through six is Mystic Cure, and then it says first is lesser of remove condition, third is second is remove condition, so on and so forth. So basically how it works is that at first level you have Mystic Cure, then at second level you get Mystic Cure level two, and then the first level Mystic Cure changes into lesser remove condition. That's why there's no sixth level spell listed, because at that point you have the sixth level Mystic Cure. Mm-hmm. And all of those other ones are what's below. So in this regard, healer kind of gets more spells than any other connection because they have the sixth level Mystic Cure. They can undercast it as any of its lower level ones. And then they also have additional spells, and those known as bonus spells, on top of that. So it's a very strong spell list for healers. It really kind of flexes what you can do with the class because you automatically know all the healing spells, so you don't have to feel like you have to take them.
Okay. We're going to need to accelerate. There were more of these than I thought there were. So we're going to
I know. That's why I was confused that you wanted to talk about them.
There were less of these.
I wasn't going to say anything until you realized it, Param. you're the master of ceremonies here. I am just your unwitting co-host.
Well, this is obviously because I didn't take the Akashic Record connection.
You should have. Regardless, the most important thing to know about the healing one is that you get healing channel. It's channel energy, except the progression is different. Mm-hmm. It's 2d8 hit points at first level, and it goes up by another 2d8 at third level and every three levels thereafter. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you get to throw a fistful of d8s at your GM and then tell everyone at the table that they're healed for that much. Mm-hmm. It's great. Everything else is either improving upon that or doing weird stuff with healing. It's got this strange duality mechanic where, like, you get the ninth level of steal life, where you could just take another creature's hit points and give it to other people. So you're like, hey, guess what? I'm a necromancer now, guys. Mindbreaker. Let's go to Mindbreaker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do want to also call out that if you want, the healer also gets channel life at 15th level, which is Starfinder's version of, what was that called? We use it all the time.
Ultimate channel.
No,
or Ultimate Mercy.
Yeah, but it casts a spell. Basically, if something died within one round, you bring it back to life. So
it's Breath of Life.
Breath of Life, yeah. It's your oh crap moment spell.
Yeah, it takes the fifth level Mystic Cure Breath of Life aspect and puts it on channel energy. So, like, if everyone in your party is down except for you and everyone is dead, you can literally channel life and bring them all back, like, pre-nerf Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Mindbreaker is a lot like I said with the Empath, where you really want to go psychic and sci-fi with your Mystic, except you really want to hurt people too.
Yeah, this one has, I'm doing stuff to your brain, but all the brain thing is pain. Mindbreaker has a similar spell mechanic to the healer, where they get Mystic Thrust at first level, and then the Mystic Thrust keeps getting better, and new spells file in to replace it. You get to do things like share pain. You can take non-lethal damage and push it back on other people. It's very similar to the there's like a pain-based psychic discipline, and that's basically what this is. Mm-hmm. A combination of that and just brain destruction. You get abilities like Mind Killer, Explode Head, It's great. But if you want to be the person who mind controls everyone, you're going to want the next connection.
And that is the Overlord. And this has nothing to do with anime necromancers.
Nope, but it has everything to do with hold person, suggestion, confusion, dominate person, mass suggestions, and delightfully named abilities like inexplicable commands, forced amenity, echoes of obedience, jealous overlord, forceful commands, and, for all of you people who really like Lem's evil brother, absolute control. I think... I think that if you can take those words and understand what they would mean in the context of, gosh, what's a good supervillain for this sort of brain control thing? Like Loki's scepter. Like, then yes, it is every one of these abilities will make your enemies do something that they don't want to do. Or enjoy Legion. That.
Legion.
Or Legion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Legion is a good one. The next one is really a weird connection. My brother played this one when we were doing the Starfinder playtest. He's in love with this connection. It's the Star Shaman.
Okay.
So you get perception and piloting as good skills. All of your abilities have stuff to that involve either starlight or the dark. So you get things like dark vision, irradiate, remove radiativity, telekinesis. It's cool. But all of your abilities are just these really crazy star powers that they don't even really look strongly connected except for their theme. So it's pretty cool. It's like a transhuman like experience. You get things like Walk the Void. One of the things my brother was very proud of is that Walk the Void let him survive completely naked in the void of space at level one. He's like, oh, you can't do anything to me, I'm injected. He's like, well, he's like, it's great because I'm driving my spaceship and, you know, we'll, if we get there, everyone will be happy. And if we crash, as long as I'm alive, I'm alive. Like, as long as I don't die in the crash, I'll be good. You guys will all die and then you won't be able to judge me. I'll just float in space like this for all eternity. And we just stared at him and we were like, get that bug off of the driver's seat. But it turned out that with the connection ability and having piloting as his good skill, he was really good at piloting, so we let him stay.
Yeah, when I was reading through this one, I was just strongly reminded of the times I have to go test the laser show at her planetarium for Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, pretty much. It's also worth noting that this one Mystic connection is the only thing in the game with interplanetary teleport. It was a Pathfinder spell that is really great. And, oh no, I'm wrong. It's a spell that anyone can take. Oh, they just get to do it more then. So teleport everywhere, my friends. I'm glad that it's not this only. Maybe that was playtest. Regardless, the last one is the Xeno Druid, which is basically the Druid, but aliens.
Because I always wanted my direwolves to have more tentacles.
I don't know what it is with you and tentacles, man.
Because that's how you make something a space monster. You put it in a rubber suit. It has octopus arms.
I mean, do you want your halflings to have more tentacles?
No, but that would explain a whole lot of strange aeons.
Yes. Also, it would explain the fact that this one gets grasping vines, where you can it's like entangled, but it actually does something. It's great. I'm sorry, it's true. The spell list on this one is kind of funky. I feel like Xeno Druid might have been better if they had waited until after Alien Archive 2 came out with all the polymorph spells that are supposed to be in it, like Owen talked about last episode. Because this archetype or this connection really looks like it wants polymorph, but like it has to deal with things like Life Bubble and Fog Cloud. Like how do you use a Fog Cloud in the vacuum of space? Is it just like...
Well, I mean, not every encounter in Starfinder takes place in the vacuum of space.
You need to assume that everything is going to involve the vacuum of space, Param. Everything.
Usually that's when things have gone really wrong.
I mean, there was that encounter with Betty that we had, so yes, this happens. But one of the things that this one gets that's weird is, like, reincarnate. It's like, I'm just going to take that dead body and I'm going to make it a bush. That's a very good use of my money. Great stuff. You get Guided Rebirth, which actually takes what I just said and makes it cool. You basically reincarnate yourself in 8 hours. You change your type to any animal, humanoid of any subtype, or your original type, gaining the characters to make you look like that as, you know, relevant. It's like, hey, I don't want to be a human anymore. I'm just going to encase myself in this cocoon and, oh man, look, I'm now one of those five-armed, horrifying starfish monsters. It's great. This is what I've always wanted. This is my true self. Oh, man. Starfinder's weird, man. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's all of the connections. We did it.
All right. So what does the spell list for the Mystic look like? I mean,
it's amazing. Just, you don't need to say anything else. It's amazing. You have Mind Thrust. Have you ever, let me ask you a serious question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had the unfortunateness of getting stuck in the Cosmic Eddy spell?
No. What in the world?
Think Black Tentacles, but it doesn't do damage, and instead every round it tries to pull you to the center.
Well, that sounds not great.
It's amazing. You kidding? It is amazing.
Well, I mean, to be stuck in would be bad.
Oh no. It's horrible to be stuck in. Like, your life is not good anymore once you're in there. Mm-hmm. That was my brother's favorite spell in our high-level playtest game, because he would just be like, Cosmic Eddy, and then all the Yusoki would get sucked into the middle, and then that's when the grenades came out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Mystic has a lot of crowd control spells, like Cosmic Eddy, like charm skills, charm spells. It's got the sleep spells. A lot of the mental psychic stuff is here.
It's got all of the healing magic.
Yeah, all the healing magic. And healing is surprisingly effective in Starfinder. The Mystic is very good at it. It has, of course, we've talked about Mind Thrust, and it's got very good single target damage. It also gets a lot of the space-ish spells, mm-hmm. like Control Gravity is a Mystic spell.
Basically, if it affects living creatures, mm-hmm. if it affects the environment... Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, living creatures, the environment, or, like, nature in general, the Mystic pretty much gets it. Mm-hmm. That's sort of its shtick. So, like, a lot of those psychic abilities, those affect living creatures. Mm-hmm. A lot of those environmental abilities, those affect living things. Like, mm-hmm. this is the class that if the Technomancer is all about controlling technology and making technology do horrible things to your enemies, this one takes nature and, like, living things and makes it do horrible things to your enemies.
Yeah, and the Mystic also lends itself to a lot of different varieties of character builds. Yeah, you can go with the pure spellcaster type of the Mystic and then take the appropriate feats to buff your damage up and all that. But you could also very easily, because this is still a two-thirds BAB class, take the right feats, get good armor, get a good melee weapon, and you could basically recreate the Paladin with this class to some approximation. Or your
That happens a lot in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
One of our players, he plays a Mystic named Chaplin, who is I think he's healing, but I could be wrong, but he basically just, I'm going to buy heavy armor and runs around heavy armor, and we can't stop him. He's the greatest. He's, mm-hmm. he's Chaplin. He puts our bones back mm-hmm. together.
I mean, that is our cleric, modus operandi.
Yeah. Katya in our Dead Sons game does the same thing. He wants to be one, or she, I should say. She wants to be one with Triune and to basically transhumanize herself. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I need to start by covering my body in metal. And so she took heavy weapon armor proficiency and just slapped all the armor on. She's officially at the point where, through magic items and other technological abilities, she no longer needs to eat or drink. She only needs 2 hours of sleep a night. And... there's another big major biological function she doesn't need, but basically she's throwing away all of her biological functions.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there's only one role that the Mystic can't really do good on, and that is the spy-ish character. It doesn't have stealth, mm-hmm. it doesn't incentivize dex as a stat, except for, because this is Starfinder, all classes kind of like dex as a stat.
Yeah.
And its spell list doesn't really lend itself to a lot of sneaky either. So,
yeah, it doesn't get invisibility, and there isn't any connections with like stealth as a skill, so you can't put channeled skill on it, which is what you'd really want.
And the reason that is brought up is because a lot of the sci-fi tropes, like if you look at your Babylon 5 or your Mass Effect, the concept of these psychic mystic spies is a really common thing that a lot of players would want to take, and they're forced to really go with other options like the psychic archetype and choosing operative or something like that to build that sort of character.
Well, you know what? That sort of character could easily work if down the line Paizo makes a mystic connection that's like somehow connected to like stealth or hiding or the hidden world, and you know, you just put stealth as one of the associated skills, and it could even have one of its powers could be turning invisible. I'd say that's something that is very doable with homebrew if a player wants to do it.
Yeah, maybe like a secrets connection that seems more mysticky.
Yeah. the secrets connection. Norgaber came back. And we never knew. We never knew. We never knew.
Well, of course he came back. He came back as Iomide.
Iomide was already around.
No. She isn't. Norgaber took care of that.
I feel like Norgaber wouldn't want people worshiping him as Iomide.
Okay, that's somebody else's thing.
We're going to take this theory and we're just going to toss it, everyone, at No Direction. Sorry. Just crumple it up, throw it in the trash can. We're gonna let Parham come up with a better theory. Okay?
Better theory. What do you think about the class overall?
I think that this is a solid Starfinder class. This is sort of like... It's a very strong class. It's got... I would say out of all of Starfinder's classes, it's got the most built-in flexibility, even compared to the soldier, which I think is a close second. Mm-hmm. You can do so much. It hits so many different roles with the Mystic, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no class in the game that's more flexible than this, especially when you compare it to, like, the Solarian, who is binary, or the Mystic, or the Mechanic, who is binary. It's a very strong class because of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it evolves in the future.
But it's almost ironic, because it does have the most flexibility, But like we said earlier, it's flexibility that you decide when you're building your character, because you can't really change direction downstream. You basically lock into all of your choices right away.
At level one, you pick the most important choice you'll ever make, and that'll probably decide what you do for the rest of your career.
Right. I mean, you do get some flexibility with your spell selection. It has a really good spell list, and so even the same concept of Mystic could pick several different spells from what's available right now. And, of course, as the game develops and more material is released, much like the Devastation connection is a great example of that, the class will continue to grow stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to worry about this class. No. We have enough to worry. But it makes it a very good one to end our discussions on the Starfinder classes on, because in a way, I feel like this is the class that, like, it's a good class, but none of us were really excited about it, and none of us really hated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, it's a strong class.
We all looked at it, we pulled out our copyright No Direction monocles and said, this is a good class. Yes, it's quite, very good. And then just kind of walked away and weren't like, because... This is a class that Paizo has proven they can build. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have the Oracle, you have the Psychic, you have the Sorcerer. This is a very by-the-numbers class for Paizo. So, like, it's not really impressive, but it's really good. It's just not, like, game-changing the way that, like, the Soldier was.
I think it really works with its class fantasy, too.
Yes.
It definitely did succeed in bringing the space to the Mystic with some of the Star Shaman stuff and a lot of the spells. Mm-hmm. And it definitely made this is the class that didn't need to bring gadgets to make itself seem sci-fi, because all how it had to go is, like, the mysteries of the universe are channeled through my body.
Yeah, this is a class that works just because they changed a few names and swapped serial numbers, you know?
And this is one of the classes most likely to throw down with Galactus and Thanos in Cosmic Marvel Adventures.
I mean, I really want to see the Soldier do it, but you're probably right. Mm-hmm. We need a Sorcerer Supreme connection.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's working on that.
Do it faster.
Yeah, I was surprised there wasn't a magic connection, because the Mystic really can even fulfill the Space Wizard type easily. And I think the only reason there isn't is so that the Technomancer doesn't feel lonely.
I mean, it's less feeling lonely, but, like, the second they make a wizardry connection, Thanos' snap happens, and then all of a sudden there's just six classes in the core rulebook.
Oh, I'm hopeful that the Technomancer expands. Wait.
Five, because the Mechanic also died.
Oh, dang it, man. You do not like the Mechanic. Okay.
So, give me a reason to love it, and I will love it with open arms.
Well, there's not much more to say about the Mystic. It's a great class. It's got a lot of options. So, before we say goodbye, we have some news we need to talk about. That
we do, which is weird. We never do news.
Well, we should do news more.
But it's such a slow evolving system. There's never news.
All right. So most importantly, Gen Con is next week as of this recording. Like, exactly.
I know. I'm
next
so excited.
Week. I am.
We're gonna get to.
Oh man.
we're going to have another one of those really awkward, biased podcasts where, like, we have to start the episode by saying, so we're going to review Armory, but Alex worked on this, so Alex, you're not allowed to talk, and then I'm going to cry. There's going to be a lot of tears.
Yeah.
You guys are going to love it.
That'll be, like, probably, that'll be after Gen Con, probably a couple of weeks after Gen Con. And then, of course, you two, since Gen Con is coming, you will find us at Gen Con. Definitely. Now, Alex, you are going to be basically living in the...
I was born in the ballroom. I was raised in the ballroom. I'll die in the ballroom.
Several times if you get to make more than one character.
Oh, no, I'm the GM. I'll be... The fates of all are at my command. I am the one with the Thanos snaps at my disposal.
Right, but you're going to have way many of your characters die than anybody else then.
I don't know. It's a pretty low-level Pathfinder 2 playtest adventure is what I'm doing.
Oh, so you're not doing Starfinder?
No, James is doing Starfinder. So if you want to do Starfinder, you go find James. Mm-hmm. James has also sold his soul to Paizo. He will be doing the finger snaps for Starfinder.
Mm-hmm. All right. You will find me mostly in the seminar room because, as recently been announced and has been spammed over social media, we are partnering with Paizo themselves to stream all of Gen Con, all the seminars we possibly can get out there. They're going to be live streamed on Twitch on Paizo's official channel. You're going to have KD members manning the computers and chats and talking and emceeing between the panels. And we wanted to do this for years, but just the equipment needed to be hauled down there and bought, and internet connection, and Gen Con has these rules against doing streaming live unless you get permission. So there were a lot of hoops to jump through, but all that has been made possible now. We will be doing it throughout the entire convention. So starting August 2nd at 10 a.m., or actually I think the first one's like maybe 10 a.m. Yeah, it's 10 a.m. Yes. The full schedule's up on the Paizo Twitch channel. We've linked to it on our social media, and that's going to be great. And also, if you want to see me and Ryan from No Direction, also on No Direction on several other podcasts, you can catch us for a live game of the Pathfinder playtest held on the being hosted up and James, we'll be joined by a couple of the players from Dragons and Things, and we'll be running a adventure that Jason Bowman has written just for the occasion, and he seems to be quite evil in all his hints towards what's going on, so I'm not exactly sure what we'll be doing there, and it's going to be at the Grand Ballroom, so it happens on... Thursday at 10 p.m. So Thursday night, first day of the con at 10 p.m. It's a ticketed event, so you'll probably want to buy tickets in advance. So definitely, if you want to come see us do that and do a, I think that Gen Con themselves is going to be streaming that one too after the fact, if you want to catch it after the fact.
Absolutely. I would love to, except I sold my soul to Paizo already, Param.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad I don't do that. Oh, wait, no, I went in a different direction. Darn it!
I know, you also sold your soul to Paizo. I know. It's great.
It does.
The only difference is that you get to rake in that prestige, am I right? Yeah.
And also, you're going to notice us at Gen Con with our snazzy new uniforms that just came in.
Are you going to show them on the camera, or we have to wait?
They're in the house, man. I'm not going to go grab them and put them on. Also, no, it's a billion everybody. Degrees in here because I have the air conditioner off to record this.
Everybody, hold for 10 minutes so we can run into the house, grab them, and run back.
Yeah, go. That's not going to happen. No, no.
They're all still holding, Param.
Darn it.
All right. No, it's okay. I'm sure we'll put a picture in, like, Discord or something. Hey, do I hear that we have a Discord now?
We totally have a Discord. If you want the chillest and most fun place to hang out and talk about Paizo games like Starfinder or Pathfinder or Pathfinder 2, you can join us on our Discord server, and you can get there from nodirectionpodcast.com over on the right. You can click the link there and get on our Discord server. All of us are in there. It's a good way to reach out to the staff, get questions answered, and just sort of hang out. And we love to have every one of you. And it is getting more and more crowded in there every single day. It's a great place to meet Pathfinder fans. And we make sure that it is a fine place to hang out and that most of the toxic elements are filtered away. Also,
good job.
we need to thank our patrons at our Patreon patrons for their continued support of this podcasting network and making sure that shows like this are possible. We appreciate every little bit that any of you all can help and look forward very soon to seeing the very first of the unconditioned cards. I got to see a little bit of the preview there. You're going to see those coming out for our patrons that are backing us at that level or higher. And I have to... Ryan's card's going to be the first one out, and I'm right now trying to figure out what the card will be for my card, which will be the second card.
We're doing them in order of seniority, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I'm third?
I don't know exactly. Probably. I'll have to go look and see if anybody else is in between.
So, like, Anthony joined before I did, but Anthony is taken care of.
What did you do to Anthony?
I secured my unconditioned card, Param.
You just would have had to wait a couple more months, man.
But question. Uh-huh. For all of our listeners who don't know, what's an unconditioned card?
Okay, so we're basically doing humorous conditions that are possible and related to podcasting and our network with some illustration that features our characters. So they might serve a gameplay functionality or a collectible kind of functionality.
It'd be funny if there was like a burnout condition card and then the character was just on fire.
Yeah. If you wish to support us or become one of our patrons, you can join us on our Patreon link that's also on nodirectionpodcast.com. If you have any questions for us or wish to contact us for any reason, you can get in touch with us at nodirection@hotmail.com. You can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nodirection. You can find us at Twitter at twitter.com/nodirection. On YouTube at nodirection show on YouTube. And of course on Twitch, where we broadcast live every week at twitch.tv/nodirection. And that's a great way to interact with us during the show.
We try. We really do.
Okay. Am I missing anything? Am I forgetting anything?
No, because we said Discord already.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got everything. Indeed. We did good this time.
Awesome.
Wow.
All right. So
however, what are we going to do? We're out of classes.
Well, I don't know. If you've got any ideas, listener, on what kind of features you'd like us to get into next, that we've covered all of the basic classes.
They want 12 hours of us talking about the vehicle rules.
Oh, please no. There's only so many hover bikes I can deal with.
Oh, there's only one hover bike you can deal with, Param, and nobody knows how it's built.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you've got any suggestions on any topics you'd like us to cover, please go ahead and get those in. You can reach us at any of the places I listed above. And we definitely look forward to seeing you again. So until next time, go beyond with no direction.